Welcome to another episode of our nutrition Q&As on our Boxing Science podcast. Our first question was, are there any foods that can help with recovery after a boxing bout and any foods that are beneficial for the brain? In terms of foods for recovery, there has been a lot of scientific literature on improving recovery from exercise-induced muscle damage, so basically eccentric exercise. Now, in terms of this on boxing specific, so far we know no studies which have looked at recovery after any boxing exercise. So you've got to take this from different types of exercise. One food which does help recovery, they call them polyphenol foods. Polyphenols are dark types of fruits and vegetables. So think of kind of blueberries, raspberries, cherries, etc. There is some evidence which shows that using some tart cherry juice, so having 2 servings of 30ml per day, can improve recovery from exercise-induced muscle damage. Mainly what happens, it can reduce muscle soreness. Now you need to take 2 servings of tart cherry juice and you take this 4 days before and then also every day post bout of exercise for up to 4 days. So we know that actually exercise-induced muscle damage can last as much as 3 to 4 days after exercise. If you are in a tournament scenario in terms of boxing or combat sports and you can afford the expense of having this product, so it can be quite expensive, we do suggest to have 2 servings of tart cherry juice and you have this 1 in the morning with your breakfast and then have 1 in the evening with your dinner. Now, tart cherry juice does contain around 20 to 30 grams of carbohydrates per serving. So if you have having 2 per day, you're probably going to have about 40 to 60 grams of carbohydrates. So this is to give you some kind of help if you are reducing carbohydrates in your diet to make weight, they might not be that optimal. From the research which is done on this tart cherry juice, a lot of the studies actually made the participants have a void diet of having no antioxidants or fruit and vegetables in their diet. So therefore, it could actually have increased this power to see an effect of having reducing kind of this post-exercise muscle damage and soreness. In terms of some recent studies, which actually didn't void the diet of participants, and a good study was this done with James Moran in some professional rugby league players, actually they found that having some tart cherry juice did not improve recovery after a rugby league game. They put this down to the rugby players had a good diet anyways, rich in fruit and vegetables and polyphenols. We do say that you can probably get this polyphenol content from food alone. This is where we would encourage our boxers to increase their intake of berries, such as blueberries. Breakfast, you could have some frozen berries in some smoothies, whether it's post-workout in a whey protein drink, or it could be in the morning with maybe some oats and some skim milk. And you can also just get this from a variety of different fruits and vegetables. So if we're looking at the dark-skinned type, beetroot is high in polyphenols, aubergines, even plums. Trying to increase your fruit and vegetable intake is really important to help reduce some of this kind of muscle soreness. We do tell our athletes to have around 6 to 8 portions of fruit and vegetables per day, different varieties, so you're having different colours. Now, we encourage this because some research from Zamora et al. Actually showed that having a Mediterranean diet rich in fruit and vegetables actually leads to around 1,000 milligrams of polyphenols. This is what they say is in actually in these tart cherry juice supplements. So having quite a wide variety of fruit and vegetables in your diet can actually have the same antioxidant and polyphenol content as having these tart cherry juice supplements. So you can get it from a food-first approach, in our opinion. And this is why we do encourage eating a large variety of fruit and vegetables. Another food type which can help improve recovery after boxing bout is omega-3. Omega-3 is rich in foods such as salmon, sardines and mackerel. However, getting the amount which needed to actually reduce muscle soreness and reduce muscle damage is high. A study in 2020 had a look at 2, 4 and 6 grams of omega-3. And they took it for 7 weeks every day. Then they did some muscle damaging exercise, which was some eccentric squats. 10 sets of 8 reps of squats. Then they also did some plyometric exercise after. What they found is actually the 6 grams of omega-3 per day reduced the muscle soreness and actually improve their muscle function and strength recovery in the days after this exercise. So having a high omega-3 intake is likely to help, one, reduce that muscle damage, and two, reduce that muscle soreness. A negative, or a caveat to this, is having 6 grams of omega-3, especially through supplements and food, is going to be expensive. So it might not be that realistic to actually achieve this amount. But we would say that having an amount less than this, maybe 2 or 3 grams per day compared to 0 gram or a diet which is completely void in omega-3, especially those who don't like fish and who don't supplement with omega-3, is going to help that recovery after that boxing bout. This is why we do advise all our athletes to try and consume about 2 to 4 grams of omega-3 per day routinely, as well as having at least 3 oily fish servings per week. If we do have some athletes who are actually having some intensive exercise in a short period, we would increase that towards 6 grams. Another supplement and food which has been shown to improve recovery is curcumin, which is found in the turmeric root. Curcumin has been shown to have actually high antioxidative qualities and actually to improve that muscle damage. A meta-analysis in 2021 by Fang et al. Actually showed that having 1 gram of curcumin per day actually improved muscle function recovery and reduced muscle soreness after doing some intensive exercise. 1 gram of curcumin per day can help improve this recovery. You can get this in supplement form, such as the Opti Turmeric capsules, which are on Healthspan Elite, or you can get this in quite high doses just through the turmeric root. We would advise using the turmeric root rather than the turmeric powder, because actually curcumin has been shown to actually be higher in this root compared to the processing qualities when the turmeric powder is actually processed. Lastly, we want to see if we can increase our energy intake in that post-workout period. So carbohydrates and protein are going to be key to help improve that muscle recovery and also restore those carbohydrates in our body once we have done some intensive exercise, such as a boxing bout. A study in 2021 by Hudson and colleagues, they had a look at recovery after a rugby league game. Now, although this is 80 minutes and it's going to be much longer and probably more aggressive than a boxing bout, what the key is here is they did a lot of collisions, which is going to lead to primary muscle damage. So primary muscle damage is basically contacts on our body, such as being getting hit with punches, getting hit in a scrum or in tackles. What they found is 24 hours post-game, carbohydrate and demands were actually increased and their metabolic rate was increased. Therefore, if you do have a hard boxing bout, it might be useful to increase your carbohydrate and your protein intake in the 24 to 48 hours post-boxing bout to help improve this recovery from this primary muscle damage. In terms of carbohydrate and protein requirements, we would say try and get around 40 gram of carbohydrates and 40 gram of protein in the 2 hour period post bout. This may not be possible if you've got multiple fights together over a weekend, if we are tight at the weight, but certainly after a professional boxing bout, this can be done. We'd also say in terms of daily amounts, we're probably wanting to increase carbohydrate intake to around 5 grams per kilogram and having protein around 2 grams per kilogram for 2 to 3 days post professional boxing bouts to just to help get over this muscle damage. Lastly, we certainly don't want any alcohol intake. So we know alcohol intake reduces muscle protein synthesis and actually reduces carbohydrates getting used in our muscles as glycogen. This is going to increase actually the muscle damage. This is where we try and encourage a lot of our athletes not to have a high alcohol intake post fight. Another question we received was about creatine intake and was about how much can they have, how often do they need it, and also does it increase water retention, which can lead to an increase in weight, which may lead to them struggling to make weight in their boxing fights. So a study in 2003 by Kurtz and Guter actually had a look at total body water and also water retention and also lean muscle mass and body fat percentage in a group of athletes who actually took creatine. Now they took it for 4 weeks and they had 30 gram per day for the first 2 weeks, and then 15 gram per day for the second 2 weeks. What they actually found was body fat percentage slightly reduced in the creatine intake group, but total body water and intracellular water did increase significantly compared to the non-creatine group. What we want to state is the participants who supplemented with creatine were untrained. They did 2 strength training sessions per week during these 4 weeks. So therefore, what may have likely happened is they're going to increase some muscle tissue and muscle mass. Secondly, 30 gram per day and then also 15 gram per day in the final 2 weeks is a high creatine intake. We know that just having 5 gram per day for 6 weeks is going to lead to the same saturation of creatine levels in our muscles. We do advise most of our athletes just to stick to 5 gram per day and have it every day throughout camp. Now, we want it every day. Many athletes will only have it on training days, so they might only have it 4 or 5 times per week. All the literature which has shown significant effects of creatine, have it every day. This is why we want our athletes to have it every day. Have 5 gram either in a post-workout drink with some protein or have it with a meal, such as if you're having a mixed meal with some carbohydrates, having it in a glass of water or sugar-free juice with your meal, going to help transport that creatine to our muscles. There's been many reviews on creatine intake, and we do advise our listeners and also those who watch on YouTube to look at some studies by Scott Forbes and Darren Kando, as these are the leading researchers in creatine intake. There's been some kind of longer term studies done on water retention and in intracellular water. These reviews actually point towards that creatine intake does not lead to water retention when it's took long term. It's only in the initial phase of when you're increasing that creatine intake and that saturation. What will happen is if you are taking it long term and you're doing the right resistance training, it will lead to an increase in lean muscle mass. In the study mentioned before, in the Kurtz group in 2003, they showed that increased weight by about 3.5 pounds compared to the non-creatine group. This is probably just the lean muscle mass. I'm confident that most people who take creatine may increase lean muscle mass and weight by 2 or 3 pounds, but I'm confident enough that they could lose probably double the amount of that in body fat. Now, creatine intake is being shown to be beneficial for brain health. It's been shown to actually improve memory, been shown to improve repeated sprint ability, increase lean muscle mass, increase strength, and increase kind of power. Therefore, we would advise to have creatine, whether you are an amateur or a professional. Try and keep it into your diet all the way to a weigh-in. If you are tight at the weight, we would say removing creatine intake around 10 days out from a weigh-in. And if you're an amateur, just leaving it out from 10 days out all the way through your competition. If you're professional, we would say take it out 10 days before a weigh-in and then add it in post-weigh-in into some carbohydrate or protein drinks or with food and reintroducing it before the fight. If you're not tight at the weight, or you're confident enough that you're going to make the weight still quite easily without doing a lot of dehydration methods, then keep creatine intake all the way through to the weighing and all the way through to competition. This way, you're probably going to see greater beneficial effects. The next question was nutrition for bone injuries and fractures. If you are having many bone fractures and bone stress injuries, it's likely that you're having restrictive eating. So you're not having enough energy in terms of energy intake from our diet, maybe not enough protein and carbohydrates, and especially not enough calcium or vitamin D. So it's these foods that we do want to increase. One, before we potentially have a bone injury. So if you are having quite a few fractures, do this at the start. But also if we do receive a bone injury, we want to increase these as soon as we get a bone injury. So we know this is going to help this bone remodeling and this repair. What we don't advise boxers to do is to stay in a low calorie and energy intake whilst injured. We want this injury to heal. This is the most important part before we even return to training and competition. We've got to try and strive for this to help improve this injury recovery straight away. So increase carbohydrate content. So still having a moderate carbohydrate intake, probably around 2 to 3 grams per kilogram per day, even when our activity levels are reduced during that immobilization period. Protein intake, we want to have frequent feedings of protein throughout the day. So you want around 4 or 5 servings, breakfast, lunch, dinner, maybe a couple of snacks, and aiming for around 30 to 40 grams of protein in each of these meals and snacks to help, one, retain muscle around the injury. So if we've got hand injury, wanting to retain muscle in the arm, this is going to be key because it is linked to bone mineral density, how much muscle you've got. But also it's going to help improve that rehabilitation time, because if we don't have a high protein intake, what's going to happen? We're going to lose muscle. Then in that rehabilitation period, you're going to have to try and rebuild some of the muscle which is lost. So retaining as much muscle as possible is key for a good healthy return from injury. We do advise supplementing with some vitamin D3. Now you want around 2000 to 4000 IU per day. What we don't advise is we don't advise big boluses of vitamin D. You can get around 20 to 100,000 IU and it's just one tablet which you're meant to take once per week. But this has actually been shown to be inferior to just having smaller regular doses of vitamin D throughout the weeks. And lastly, if you don't consume enough dairy products, so such as milk, cheese and yogurt, especially from cow's milk, it's likely that your calcium intake is probably going to be quite low. If this is the case, then we do advise supplementing with calcium 3 times per day, so around 400 milligram calcium tablet, once at breakfast, once at lunch and once at dinner, and having this throughout your rehabilitation period of helping this bone remodel. The next question was, should I have protein within 30 minutes or 2 hours after exercise? There's been a very recent study done by Tromelin and colleagues, which was just done in recent weeks. In this study, they had a look at 0, 25 or 100 gram of protein. This was milk protein, and they had this after resistance exercise, which is important to note. As many studies which have looked at protein intake have done with no resistance training. For years, we've always thought that 25 grams was roughly the right amount to have post-exercise and in meals, because this was the maximum leucine content, around 3 grams, which actually helped muscle protein synthesis and anabolism. This study found that actually this 100 gram of protein was superior to 25 gram, and it was in our bodies still 12 hours after consumption. The 100 gram protein group had a lesser rate of disappearance of amino acids in their blood and muscle. So actually it stayed in their body for longer over time. So many practitioners and researchers actually say this dispels the myth of protein timing. Therefore, you can have your protein intake maybe in just one meal or two meals throughout the day, compared to maybe 4 or 5 servings, which many bodybuilders or many practitioners have advised throughout the years. Now, there is a caveat to this. This study just used milk protein, which is 80% casein and 20% whey. So it's going to have a longer time and a longer curve time for to have concentrations in our muscle and blood, but then also to release. It wasn't done with food. So we know a food matrix, having protein, carbohydrates and fats, is going to affect this disappearance and this increased intake. One, due to insulin from the carbohydrates to have less muscle protein breakdown. So it wasn't done with food. And also a study in 2016 by McNaughton et al. They did a similar study and they looked at 20 and 40 gram of protein. This was done post-resistance exercise whole body. And they found that 40 gram of protein, which was done via whey, was superior to 20 gram. So in the Tromlin study, they've just used 25 and 100 gram of protein. Maybe if they had a 50 gram protein group, what they would have found is 50 gram might have been more than 25, but had the same effect as 100 gram, especially when this is done with food. Therefore, what we do advise our athletes is to have around 20 to 40 gram of protein within 2 hours, either side of training. So that's probably having a breakfast meal and a lunch meal if you're training in the morning. And then also doing the same at dinner and maybe as a snack before bed. Probably aiming around 40 gram of protein in some meals and also post-exercise within a 12 period is going to be beneficial for our recovery. The most important thing out of protein timing is protein intake. So just making sure that we are hitting that protein intake target we need per day, which is around 2 grams per kilogram, is going to be the most important factor than how many servings we have per day. But if we equal it out, we're having more regular servings of protein throughout the day. This might not only just help muscle protein turnover, it's probably going to help increase satiety as well, because we know that protein has a high thermic effect of feeding and it helps us feel full for longer. And that's what that study by Tromlin didn't have a look at. They just looked at the muscle protein and also kind of cellular oxidation of having that amount of protein. Therefore, in summary, what we do advise is our athletes to have regular protein intake spread throughout the day, breakfast, lunch and dinner, and also post-exercise, probably within a 2 hour period, either side of training, just to help our recovery and to help increase our satiety so we are feeling full whilst we are dieting. The last question in this Q&A was fibre intake for boxers. In my opinion, fibre certainly gets underconsumed in the population, but also in professional boxers, especially in the fight camp phase. We encourage boxers to have around 30 gram of fibre per day in the fight camp period, and this can even be increased to 40 and 50 gram in our anecdotal experience of working with boxers. This 30 gram mark of fibre, we know that in past studies has actually been shown to increase satiety, and it's actually been shown to reduce energy intake in the day compared to a lower fibre amount. And this is because it's going to help us feel full and it's going to have a lower gastric emptying rate in our stomach. So it's going to help us increase fullness and much more compared to a lower fibre intake. The study in 2022 actually showed that having 20 to 30 gram of fibre in a smoothie in the morning compared to an energy matched placebo, which was maltodextrin, reduced energy intake in the day and it actually improved fullness at lunch and dinner. Hitting this fibre intake, we know it is going to have a lot of beneficial effects. It's also been shown to improve our gut function and our digestive system. And fibre intake is going to help this good gut microflora flourish, which is going to have a beneficial effect on reducing illness symptoms, and also it's going to help improve our mood. We've got a gut-brain axis, which is linked to mood. The more fibre you have got in your diet, and the more colour being linked to having better mood. When we are wanting acute weight loss, when we are hitting this 30 to 40 gram of fibre per day, when we reduce this to 10 grams for 5 to 6 days, it's shown to actually increase acute weight loss. And we see many boxers lose around 1 to even 3% of their body weight in this week when we reduce fibre. So in the 5 week phase, or where we want an acute weight loss, from 3 to 6 days, we want to remove this fiber to less than 10 grams per day. So usually if we remove whole grains out of our diet and big bulky fruits and vegetables, so thinking of apples, broccoli and cauliflower, this is going to reduce this fiber content and help us lose weight. And this is because this fiber gets stored in our gut and it attracts a lot of water. So when we reduce this fiber content, what happens is it gets rid of this fiber and this water in our gut to help this acute weight loss. So we lose quite a lot of weight in a short space of time. In terms of post-weighing period, we still want to keep fiber intake quite low. In the 3 to 6 hours post-weighing, we probably want to have around less than 10 grams of fiber. One, we don't want our athletes feeling full. Two, we don't want it to slow the gastric emptying. So we don't want our athletes to actually feel full and nauseous. If you're going from a low fiber intake to a very high fiber intake, you're going to feel too full, and you're probably not going to hit the carbohydrate intake amounts that you're going to need to replenish your glycogen stores after a weighing. So having less than 10 gram in a 3 to 6 hour period after a weighing, we advise. But then we do increase fiber intake ever so slightly later in the day after a weighing, if you're a pro boxer, maybe on the morning of a fight. This is just to help get some good gut function into our boxers for when they fight. What we don't want is we don't want them feeling constipated and also having kind of gut trouble before the fight. So in short, we want our boxers to hit 30 grams of fiber per day, every day in the fight camp period, dropping this to 10 grams for around 3 to 6 days before a weighing to help that acute weight loss. And then in the post-weighing period, keeping fiber intake low, especially if you're an amateur before you fight. Then if you're a professional, keeping it low in the 3 to 6 hour period after a weighing, and then just slowly introducing it before you fight. If you have any further questions, please contact us on boxingscience_nutrition and send us a direct message, and we will answer your questions soon to do another Q&A on our Boxing Science podcast.